Welcome back, everyone. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the Daily Fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. Joining us today is the head of programming at the Bitcoin conference for Bitcoin Magazine, Pete. All right.
Well, hello.
What's up? All right, Pete, we're going into the numbers. You've never done this before, but we're about to go into the numbers. We're starting the show. Let's do it.
Number time.
Number Time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever, hosted in sunny Miami Beach. But get your tickets now before the price goes up, and you can take advantage of the link down below for 10% off your ticket to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 713,112. The Bitcoin price, 50,420. 420. Anyways, chain rewrite day 798. Total public lightning capacity 3,279.68. Moscow time 1983. It's a good year. Good year 1983. Anyways, blocks to the, it is. Lots of cool stuff back in the 80s. Anyways, blocks to the halving 126,888. Nico, the numbers.
Well, I got some good news, bro. Block height made another all-time high. That's the signal.
That's the signal.
The caca fiat price is the noise. But anyways, I got something for us to talk about today that we have our special guest, P. He's live from the jungle wearing two headsets because of all the animal noises. He needs to, you know, cut them out. Anyways, let's pull this up. Check this out. The treasury yields. I know this is freaking boring, yes. But bear with me, guys. Bear with me, okay? These are essentially the staple of the financial world. Nothing is safer than U.S. Treasury bills. Anyways, let's check it out. The 30-year Treasury bills is at a 1.8%, right? The 10-year is at a 1.47%. The 5-year is at a 1.25%. And if you look at the chart, the trajectory of them, all they're doing is going down since the 1980s. In 1981, it had a interest rate of 15%. Now, fast forward till today, my camera just fucking died. But anyways, if we fast forward till today, the interest rates just keep tumbling down all the way down to 1.3%. And if we compare these to Europe, they're already negative. Now, what the fuck does all this mean? That means that if you buy a government bond, you are losing money because the inflation rate is around 6%. What the fuck is the point of buying these bonds? We had Ray Dalio that already said bonds are essentially useless. And now the ticking time bomb that I think governments are going to have to deal with is that the average return for Bitcoin over the last 10 years is 180%. I think it's only a matter of time before people start figuring that out and follow Saylor's footsteps. What do you think, Phil?
So that's, you know, it just got me thinking that, you know, even though the rate on them keeps dropping, technically, they could just actually raise the rate on it if they wanted to because they print the money.
They
but you
collapse.
See, if they did that, exactly, I know that's the problem. It's like, so, you know, they have no choice but to play along with this game, right? That like, oh no, you know, we've got to do this, you know, like it's something surprising that they're taking some drastic action that came through some, you know, very educated scheme. But at the end of the day, we all know exactly what's going on. These people are playing pretend. And the problem is that there was never Bitcoin. So while they played pretend, we all thought that this was real. I mean, not everybody. Obviously, there was, you know, the people who didn't believe that it was real, and they all sounded crazy because they had nothing to put up against it. But now we have Bitcoin. So, you know, it's like all of us crazy people that are talking about the government money printing and how everybody's losing value. Now, all of a sudden, we've got Bitcoin to put up next to it. And it's like, well, so you see what we're saying is true, and now we're not so crazy, and the money's worth less. And here you go.
I think their gig is up, man. But anyways... No. I want to turn it over to P, live streaming from the jungle in his hotel room. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, as I said, I'm staying in a hotel room, and as I said on my camera, the background was very boring, and so I collected everything that was green in this apartment and made it of plastic, and covered myself in it. And then that wasn't enough, so I put on two sets of headphones, only one of which is working. And Phil, from what you said, what I'm taking away from it is that you're calling me stupid. Is that a fair?
I think he called you stupid.
Yeah. That's I'm insulted. I'm angry. I'm furious.
You should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When did I do this?
I think it is, it's fascinating to watch the challenging to watch kind of the decline of the financial system in its current form. I think, I forget if it was the ancient Greeks or the ancient Romans, but, you know, you look at the periods where those societies were in decline and no one was like, well, this is the end. We're sliding into oblivion. And instead it was sort of, you know, just these increased reports of like, well, there's more bandits on the roads and, you know, everything costs more and, but everything's fine. And then, you know, bit by bit that happened. And I think we are experiencing a version of that today, except we have Bitcoin, which is this incredible revolutionary technology that, in my opinion, is going to save everything, not only this country, but all of us and the world. I was super, super pessimistic before I discovered Bitcoin. And now I feel this joie de vie, you know, this incredible excitement about everything. And it's all thanks to Bitcoin. Buy Bitcoin today.
I like that. You've got a good smooth voice.
Yeah, he definitely has a
He's got a good smooth voice.
He's got the radio voice, but I completely agree. You know, and I think that look, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And we cover this many times on the show, right? The Romans did the same thing. They debased the goddamn currency, and you could literally point. We've pulled you up the graph. In fact, we'll pull it up right now when you guys see this. You could literally see the decline of the Roman Empire and the direct correlation of the debasement of the currency. In the beginning, the denarius, which was their currency, had like 80% silver. Towards the end, it had less than 10%, right? And the reason that Phil didn't know how to react to that is because he's Canadian. And Canadians don't insult people. So when they get caught insulting people, Phil freaked out. He's like, what? He wanted to say thank you, but he didn't know. He's like, I can't say thank you here. What if I give him some maple syrup? Will he forgive me? So it was complete cognitive dissonance. But yeah, I completely agree. I think this is the downfall of the American empire. But exactly what you said, Pete, you brought up a really good point. Bitcoin gives us a chance to break the goddamn cycle, to separate the monetary policy out of the hands of humans. And I think that's why we're all really goddamn optimistic about the future, even though we're literally living through the midst of a fourth turning. But anyways, Phil, it's time for
The Daily Fail. The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out, amber.app. It's the easiest way to buy Bitcoin. It's a Bitcoin stacking platform by actual Bitcoiners. The link is down below.
I'm assuming it's fine if I swear and say terrible things.
Dude, we don't censor ourselves, man. This is a Bitcoin show.
Right, outstanding.
So, we get a lot of crap for the swearing.
Yeah.
Get a lot of crap for the... It's pretty bad. And people tell us, like, we want to listen to your show, but we can't play it with the kids. It's like, you know what?
That's on you. That's on you. You should have thought of that before you had children. So...
To a certain extent, yes, right? Like, that was going to get ruined.
Phil,
like,
keep rolling. Keep rolling. I'm putting all of this in. Don't even do a countdown. Just go straight to yellow.
Okay. Just go straight to yellow. Okay. Here we go. All right. Let's dive in.
Malaka.
Yellow. We're going to see you at the show, I presume, but I love having you here every single day. Talk to me. Talk to us.
Amber, the smart way stack sense.
We're not going to cover this, the end of the trial at length or anything like that. We had Fractal Encrypt on for BSV last week, but I just wanted to point out this tweet, right, that Kyle Roche put out. I don't know Kyle anyways, but he's a founding partner at Roche and Friedman, so good for him. Anyways, here we go. Andreas Rivero, Craig's lead lawyer, is lying to the press. The verdict the jury returned is higher than any settlement offer Craig ever made. Just like his client, Andreas seems to be more comfortable lying than confronting the truth. Okay, what are they talking about? They're talking about the verdict, right? Which was self-described Bitcoin creator must pay $100 million in lawsuit. Now, the BSV camp is obviously spinning this that, you know, he won and all of this stuff. There's a lot of nuance to this. This trial had nothing to do with being Satoshi. There's a lot of crap that's going around, but at the end of the day, this guy had to pay because he's a scammer. Sorry. Okay, he had to pay for all these damages that he caused, $100 million. This is way more than he had ever expected. And if you, anyways, there's a video of him, which we cannot show, but you can see him looking, you know, even though he's saying that he's, quote unquote, that it came out in his favor, it didn't really, the body language and the face did not match the words. So,
yeah, I saw that. It was interesting. The tears were streaming down his face as he was saying, I won. How the fuck do you have to pay $100 million in damage and you're still like, I'm the winner. I was victorious here. How does that work?
Man, yes. Honestly, I see it, and it's cognitive dissonance from the people that are holding BSV. The hash rate continues to tumble. The price continues to tumble. HODLNOT tweeted today, they have like 29 nodes, like some ridiculous number.
You know what, and, though?
Yeah.
29 is a number that's higher than zero. So I'm just going to throw that out there in their favor.
That is true. That is
good. You know, when you compare it to the Bitcoin network with, you know, hundreds of thousands, of nodes, it's still greater than zero. That's all I'm going to say there.
It's a very astute observation. You should come on more on the show, Phil.
There's more room for loss. It can still go to zero, so he's right. There's plenty of potential left there.
It's true. It's true.
But by the way, when I say hundreds of thousands of nodes, most nodes operate, you know, behind Tor or without, you know, broadcasting, things like that. So in my mind, there's at least a node, a Bitcoin node for every man, woman, and child on the planet. Just 100%. Wow. You know, I think even if people don't realize they're Bitcoiners, they're running nodes, you know, in under their dishwashers, in their closets. You know, nodes are like socks. When, you know, you tend to lose them and then you find them later and they're just running everywhere. So I think everyone is secretly a Bitcoiner and they just don't realize it.
No, I agree. It kind of makes sense because I literally opened the cabinet under my sink the other day and I found a node, but now you've explained it to me.
You're welcome.
All right, Phil, what's next?
I love it. I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, it's true. I'm like, they've been corn hodlers all along.
You know the cat meme where they put like a Bitcoin on top of its head and it's just like, it has its mind blown. Me and you just went through that just now.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the F is going on?
I love it.
What's next, Phil? Okay.
The next one. Here we go. Couple stored IRA gold at home. They owe the IRS more than $300,000. It's official. Owners of individual retirement accounts with assets invested in gold and silver coins can't store them in a safe at their home. This is messed up stuff. Anyways, so ruled the judge in a recent tax court case, Andrew McNulty et al. V. Commissioner. The decision will cost Mr. McNulty and his wife, Donna, dearly. Taxes of nearly $270,000 on about $730,000 of IRA assets, plus penalties, likely to exceed $50,000.
How the fuck does that work?
I don't understand. Just, wait, what?
This gets really ridiculous. Just wait. You'll see. I mean, this is scary stuff. I mean, and again, right? Always. Anyways, we'll dive into it after. But just think about the whole moat
Is this article saying that you can't store your own gold at home?
So you can. But it can't be claimed, if I understood this correctly, it can't be claimed as part of an investment that comes from your IRA. And if you are going to store it, there are specific restrictions to how and where you store it. Yeah, this is...
If this isn't best goddamn argument for Bitcoin, I don't know what the fuck is.
I've heard this. As I understand it, you have to be storing your gold. If you're holding it yourself and it isn't an IRA, you have to make sure that it's in the shape of a pyramid and that pyramid faces east. Otherwise, you have to pay a significant fine. And this is just how George Washington wanted to.
You're not that far from the truth, man. You're not that far. Yeah. You'll see. By the time I get to the end of this, you'll see. It's pretty sad. We definitely, Bitcoin couldn't have come soon enough. The ruling disallows a scheme that was heavily promoted several years ago when radio and internet ads touted the benefits of using IRA assets to buy gold and silver coins and then store them at home or in a safe deposit box. Promoters based pitches on a perceived ambiguity in the law, despite warnings from the IRS and legal specialists. So this is kind of...
Do you see how they try to shape the narrative?
Yes.
To make you think that you're fucking crazy for doing this. Man,
you're
this
a
is
a scammer for doing this. You're a scammer for trying to hold on to your wealth yourself. Okay?
How dare you?
Give it to fucking the people dare you.
Uh-huh.
He's right.
They should have, bro. He was right. They should have just made the goddamn pyramid. They fucked up.
That's all it takes. Look, all you have to do is make the pyramid. The gold pyramid with a picture of Janet Yellen right on the top with a popsicle stick. As long as you do that, you're good.
You're good. You're Gucci. I agree.
These plants are getting obnoxious. I'm probably going to remove them soon. Please continue.
They're in the way. You're getting to the
mic. Wait. I have a question, though. Do you think if I stack my hardware wallets on top of each other and make a pyramid, but not a picture of Janet Yellen, a picture of Powell, do you think that would work?
I think it will, because as I understand it, when you talk about the pantheon of central bankers, you know, of course, as everyone knows, as every child is taught when they're growing up, there's Yellen, there's Greenspan, there's Lagarde, and then there's Augustus Carstens. Generally, Augustus Carstens, he has the power to consume everyone else's corporeal being in one inhale. But my understanding is that Powell's abilities actually supersede even his. So I think that if you go down the path that you were suggesting, you're probably safe. But just to be absolutely sure, I would probably take multiple popsicle sticks and put multiple pictures of Powell on them.
I agree.
Man, those people are doing God's work.
Mm-hmm. And that really explains Augustus Carson. You know, he sucks the souls of human, and inflation really goes to him, and he's inflated.
Yeah. There's a great meme of him, which is it's a picture of him wearing his suit and the suit jacket, and the button is just about to explode. Augustus Carson's is incredible because he looks like if you went to like a character artist and you were like, draw me the most insane, stereotypical, evil banker that you possibly can. It would not be as amazing as Augustus Carstens is. He's a morbidly obese, just absolute insane person. And the tweet that I saw a while ago is that his button is the hardest working button in fashion. And I think it's fair because it's holding back just his massive bulk.
I agree. And if you want to know where inflation goes, look at Augustus Carson. That's where it all goes. The souls of people. Anyways, Phil.
Oh my gosh.
This is a crazy article, dude.
Yeah, it's brutal. Okay, so here we go. The McNulty case has a broader lesson as well. It's a cautionary tale showing how dangerous it can be to invest retirement plan funds in alternative assets without proper guidance. Yeah. Right? Hey, you know what's happening. Okay.
Totally.
Good tax advice may appear expensive, but it's not as costly as blowing up your IRA, says Warren Baker, an attorney with Fairview Law Group in Seattle who specializes in alternative asset IRAs. Savers who have tax-favored retirement plans such as traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, and solo 401ks usually invest the assets in securities like stocks, mutual funds, and exchange-traded funds, but they don't have to. The law gives retirement plan owners broad latitude in how they invest funds, as long as it's not in collectibles like artwork, jewelry, antique furniture, cars, wine, and such. Savers investing in alternative assets must follow strict rules against self-dealing. Otherwise, they risk disaster. For example, an IRA owner can use account funds to invest in a rental property like a beach house. But if she uses it herself for a week of vacation, that's a prohibited transaction. That dissolves the IRA, triggering taxes and perhaps penalties. This is insane. You don't own any of your assets. Like, this is nuts. Who agrees to this crap?
I mean, we all do when we put money in retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm. Right? You're absolutely right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I'm taking away from this article is, you know, basically fuck you for trying to free yourself from financial apartheid.
Yep.
These people, it sounds like they got exactly what they deserved, which is, you know, just taxed out the ass. And, you know, that's the way it goes. They didn't build the pyramid. They didn't put the Janet Yellen picture on the top, and that's what happens.
Dude, that's right. And now they gotta pay.
They should have built the fucking pyramid, bro. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup. hockey sticks. I had more hockey sticks than maple syrup growing up. Anyways,
what percentage of your culture is ice, like in the hierarchy?
Oh, well, no, I mean, it's 99.9%, you know, and then we have the 3 days of summer. Like, we literally pack summer into 3 days and then it just becomes fall and winter again.
So, do you even know what these objects that are around me are? Like, have you ever seen this much green?
Well, I've seen them on television. Mm. So, you know, I mean, I've seen them on TV. We've read about them in storybooks. It's like, cool, we hear about it on the radio. No. Okay, here we go.
Phil, let's riff on this a little bit, and then let's move on to the Janet Yellen one.
All right, you want to riff on this then?
Yeah, let's riff on it.
Okay.
Do you want less riffing from me or about the same amount?
No, riff all you want, dude. Look, honestly, Phil, I'm just so disappointed, dude, because I really thought that our friendship had to do more than maple syrup, but apparently Pete thinks that you're all about ice. And
yeah, I mean, look, ice is 80% of Canadian culture, as I understand it. Phil has just informed me it's actually 99.9%. So I think probably 0.1% of that is Bitcoin and the rest is maple syrup. Is that right?
And ice.
Yeah, apparently he told me hockey sticks yesterday. I don't believe that.
Everyone has hockey sticks. It's so funny.
It's like, no, but look, seriously, dude, look, that is absolutely terrifying. The fact that you can't, of course, if you build the pyramid, you're fine. Let's put the pyramid aside. Okay. If you do it, if you worship, you know, the central bankers, you're good. You're in the clear. But if you don't do that, because you don't know the rules and regulations, the fact that you can't do whatever you want with your retirement money is absolutely fucking terrifying, dude. That's really fucking scary.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake, the systems are in place and are designed specifically to control you using the most, a proxy for the most precious thing we have, which is time. And that is, you know, your money. And it is a tragedy to me, all joking aside, that we aren't educated from a very young age about the risks that we take on by holding our value, which is ultimately our time, or rather it is a proxy for time, in assets that can be controlled by other people who absolutely do not have our interests at heart. You know, and I think that it's a hard lesson for many, and it's ridiculous that at the very least that like children are not educated on like what finances are, why, you know, being able to save money is valuable. It's almost the opposite of that, right? Everybody's encouraged to get credit cards, to build their credit and all this just insanity. And you know, you go a number of steps down that path and then you get to Bitcoin, which as we've been talking about is the, you know, it's freedom technology. It's the thing that, in my opinion is going to save the world and also this country and everything that we care about in all countries.
Absolutely. And
to put it
mildly, exactly. I think that it's really difficult to just, because think about it, and Phil, we've talked about this at length, right? How essentially the majority of the world is living under this fiat mindset. Just look at those rules. Those rules are absurd, but we're just seeing it from the perspective, I mean, from P's perspective, he's seeing it behind plastic green plants. But, you know, for most Bitcoiners' perspectives, we're seeing it from, you know, the perspective of Bitcoiners, right? From the orange lens, right? So, yeah, man, I really think, you know, the sky is the freaking limit with this. But yeah, man, crazy, crazy stuff. But I know, Phil, I know the last fail that you have really, really shows that these people don't even play by their own goddamn rules. Why don't we check that out?
What? No. That's crazy.
No, no. Hey, we're going to show some receipts. All right, here we go. All right, so ICO Sanat tagged us in this one. What was that Shakespeare line from Hamlet? The lady doth protest too much, methink. Indeed. All right. It's a retweet from Rudy Havenstein. What was Secretary Janet Yellen talking about, right? So Let's take a look at this. Rudy says, would you say that being the primary U.S. large bank regulator and then leaving that role and accepting $7.2 million in just 2 years from those same bankers in speaking fees is corrupt? All right. Let's take a look at this tweet from Secretary Janet Yellen, the top of the pyramid, the apex of trust. Trust and courage. Courage.
Courage.
Takes courage. Takes courage to be a piece of shit. Anyways, all right. All corrupt acts take resources from citizens. This is true. She's spouting some truth. Undermine public trust and ultimately threaten the progress of those who fight for democracy. At Power, USAID and I agree that to uphold democracy, U.S. agencies must root out corruption at home and abroad. Indeed, Secretary Janet Yellen. Indeed. Okay. So.
On a side note, I'm going to have so much fun in post tomorrow making the goddamn gold pyramid with the picture of Janet Yellen at the top.
It's going to be epic.
Yes, do it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I can't believe, you know what? I've said it before. It just goes to show how we've all been led astray when these people are our leaders. Anyways.
No, what's right. Fucking crazy is that she has the gall to say that. And then you just read that freaking article from the Wall Street Journal trying to normalize the fact that you can't do anyways.
Can't hold gold.
No, it's fucking crazy. And yeah, the mental gymnastics that everyone is trying to do justify the insane, as you said, the behavior and also just the world that we're living in today it's just disgusting. It's and shocking. And I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's total clown world. This is why we call it that.
Phil,
oh, sorry,
let's get into the goddamn nitty gritty of
let's
this.
Go.
Look at her. First of all, look at her face. She's a demon.
I'd be happy too.
Alex Jones? They're demons. They're demons, man. Alex Jones was right about a lot of things.
Man, if I got paid that much money to talk in front of a bunch of people who don't know crap just like me but are going to sit there and circle jerk me, I'd be thrilled.
Can we call it what it is? They're bribing her. They're bribing her.
Of course, of course.
These are bribes. These are not speaking fees. Oh, Pete just gave up on the plants. He's like,
plants.
This is too much.
Yeah, the joke is played out. These plants are just, it's, yeah.
The gloves are off.
All right.
Let's fucking go.
Go to the numbers. I want to see the freaking numbers, Phil. Okay.
There it is.
So
here we go.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's right. Don't worry. We're going into the numbers. I don't want to waste time because look, the whole article tries, it's a puff piece, right? They're trying to make it seem like this is worthwhile. Yeah, it's legit, man. You know, she's getting paid because of all this hard work, right? Other people that have done the exact same thing as her, you know, broke as hell and on welfare, but that's okay, you know? It's all good. Anyways, here we go. Early in her career, she taught at Harvard. We do have to give some background, okay? So early in her career, she taught at Harvard, but in 1976, she went to work as an economist at the Federal Reserve. Okay? And this is the piece I'm talking about with the puff piece, right? They're trying to show that, you see, she doesn't really make that much because Steve Mnuchin under Trump made $400 million. So you see, Yellen's really poor at her $7 million that she got. That's poverty, okay? So you should feel that somebody like this deserves a little bit more. Anyways, okay.
That poor We should pity her. And I do.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. Okay. It was there that she met her husband at the Federal Reserve, right? Another economist named George Akerlof in the Fed cafeteria. Okay.
I wonder what that looks like.
So, yeah, we have to get...
That sounds like a meet...
I feel like they eat children.
That sounds like a meet cute for the ages. Yeah, I just imagine Janet Yellen tearing the thigh off a small cooked baby and then her husband being like, oh, that was my piece. Doing the, like, you know, Lady and the Tramp noodle thing, except for they're consuming a small child. It's fucking adorable.
The Fed cafeteria, like, some fucked up shit happens there. Like, for sure. For sure, man. 100%.
There's people in cages. There's crocodiles. Everyone is nude. It's
Mad Max world over there in the Fed Calf.
Yeah,
really 100%. It's Mad Max world.
Oh, man.
For some reason, I was thinking of Mad Max world crossed with Water World for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, they do all have gills. So
see? They do all have gills. Okay, so here we go. We're about to show, you know, the investments, the pie chart. Here we go. The Treasury Secretary owns multi-million dollar homes in Washington, D.C., Berkeley, California, but the majority of her fortune appears to sit in more liquid assets, such as diversified mutual funds. So, see these other investments right here? Those are, yeah. Who knows what that is, right? They're just other investments. Nobody knows. Okay, anyways, in 2019, Yellen took in about $5 million from speaking. According to a financial disclosure report she submitted to federal ethics officials, this is hilarious. I love that, right? I would love to be the police and the person having to submit the work to the police. Like, are you kidding me? Submitting this paperwork to your friends? Did I do okay? Sure, you did fine. And okay, anyways.
So wait, hold on a second. But it's not speaking bribery, okay? From bribery. It's so stupid, dude. It's dumb.
They learned a lot from Janet, okay? There's a wealth of knowledge, Nico. We're not seeing it. The money kept coming in 2020.
Wait, you know what it is, Phil? We didn't go to Harvard. We didn't go to fucking Harvard, bro.
This is true.
That's why. We're peasants.
But I did have the t-shirt as a kid growing up. I had the t-shirt. That's right. Okay. So she added another $2.2 million in 2020. The businesses willing to pay her to speak were largely the sorts of companies you might expect. Big financial firms whose businesses overlapped with both the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. Citibank paid Yellen almost $1 million. Citadel, a Chicago-based hedge fund, shelled out more than $800,000. Credit Suisse, City National Bank, and Standard Chartered Bank each paid Yellen at least $300,000. A spokesperson for the Treasury Secretary declined to comment on her personal finances. You may remember Citadel, right? They are the people that were responsible for getting the game hack, the GameStop hack halted. The GameStop shorting.
They're in your head.
Get halted. Sorry?
I said they're in your head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're part of the Borg now.
It's growing.
You're on a
list. It's okay. It's okay. It's not going to last long. It'll go away. I'll just read some good Bitcoin material. It'll disappear.
Bathe yourself in maple syrup, as is your custom.
It's a christening, and it's also banishing ritual at the same time. Okay, so here we go. 2019. Okay. She picked up a $2.1 million home in Washington, D.C., which we mentioned before. No surprise, they didn't need a mortgage. Her and her husband, right? They also still own that same house in Berkeley that they purchased in 1979 that's worth $2.2 million. Okay. By the end of 2020, the power couple economists owned a diversified portfolio of assets. In addition to their $4.3 million in real estate, they had millions of dollars invested in an index fund that tracks the S&P 500, millions more in bond funds, and at least $1.1 million sitting in cash accounts. They also held a handful of modestly sized interests, typically less than $100,000, in blue chip companies like DuPont, Phillips 66, Norfolk Southern, Raytheon, and Pfizer. Yellen divested those in February. Interesting.
Man.
Very, very interesting. So, we go back to that original tweet about the corruption, okay? Did you see that? Did you hear the companies that asked her to come and speak? Let me ask you this. Do we think possibly that these companies stand to benefit from having Yellen in her current position at the top of the weird gold pyramid?
Dude, that's legalized bribery. That's honestly what I'm seeing. And then what infuriates me more is the IRA thing that you were reading. So it's like, for you peasants, you know, rules for thee, but not for me. You know, she has different sets of rules. Like, it is such fiat garbage. But the good news is that Bitcoin fixes this, possibly. P is out of the jungle, but I want to get his thoughts.
My thoughts on what specifically? Whether Bitcoin fixes this?
About the corruption, man. The corruption in the fiat world, dude, that we just...
Yeah, look,
does
I've been...
Bitcoin fix Janet?
Yeah, I mean, look, I...
No.
only the blood of the innocent, which she consumes daily, fixes Janet. Look, all joking aside, I've been swearing and screaming and saying things that I think are hilarious. Probably no one else does this entire conversation. But really, what it comes down to is, the thing that to me is so compelling about Bitcoin is the incentive structures, right? The reality is, as much as we like to be like, we're pure, if we had the same incentives as Janet Yellen and the people at the Fed, we would probably be doing the same things, right? And I think it's dangerous to assume otherwise, because it's important to acknowledge that no one is the villain in their own story, right? Janet Yellen does not wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and go like, ah, yes, the poor, I will eat them, right? Mm-hmm. That's like not the deal, right? In the same way that each of us looks in the mirror and we're like, yeah, we're fucking doing it. We're pro Bitcoin. We're supporting Bitcoin. Janet Yellen has her own story about why her behavior matches her own incentives. And so really the solution is not like, this is going to sound crazy given everything I've been saying in this conversation so far, but it's not about like demonizing individuals. It's about figuring out systems that change the incentive structures. And that to me has always been the most compelling thing about Bitcoin. It's that it incentivizes and acknowledges the fact that we are all self-interested operators. And the amazing thing about Bitcoin is that it aligns the incentives. Doing what is best for us as individuals also does what is best for the network. And that's an incredible thing. And that is the seed for me personally. Everybody has their own journey to Bitcoin. There'll be the thing that really resonates with them. But that is the thing that is the most powerful for me personally about Bitcoin. So yes, there is massive corruption in all systems. And certainly in the US dollar and all of the political systems and all the regulatory systems that are developed around it and built up to support this garbage, shitcoin, which is the US dollar. But the answer is change the incentives. And, we're seeing more and more and more organizations and individuals bend the knee to Bitcoin. And I think it's important that, again, all joking aside, because I love trolling and talking shit, is to, instead of kind of alienating people as they kind of realize like, oh shit, like I have to do this thing, instead of it being sort of like, oh, you motherfucker, like, like you piece of shit, like eat this Bitcoin, like eat it, instead of being like, yeah, like we're all here for the same thing. And this is this like magical thing, which means that like you can serve your own self-interest and you're doing what is best for yourself, your community, and the entire world. That's really important. So frankly, like I can't imagine a world where, Yellen is like, ah, shit, like, Bitcoin was the answer the whole time, because she's got too many incentives, too many structures that are behind her. And we should fight those structures and fight her on those things viciously. But at the same time, as people understand what's actually happening, we should celebrate that.
Absolutely. I think you said it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And, and honestly, that I get upset with some people on Twitter sometimes, and you hear these narratives, right, from, that Dave Troy guy the other day, where they're trying to make Bitcoin this right wing thing, where in reality, it's all inclusive, right? It's Bitcoin is for everybody. Bitcoin helps everybody equally. And I really think that's an important point. And it's exactly what you said, man. It's not necessarily that some central bankers are just evil, but it's not necessarily that people that work in central banks are necessarily evil. It's just, dude, they're trying to pay their mortgage just like everybody else. And it just happens that their incentives, right, them following their incentives hurts people, And
just to be clear, they're trying to pay their mortgage on, their fourth, fifth, sixth, 12th house.
Well, I'm not talking about the people at the top. Okay. The people at the top, they're straight up evil, bro. Those are just evil people. Christine Lagarde is a vampire. Okay?
Oh my God.
She's a vampire.
100%.
She's a vampire.
1,000,000%.
She's a vampire. Well, it's a very good time. Anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Reviews. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. Check it out. It's different artwork every volume, and they're scarce. There's only 1,000 copies per volume. Really cool stuff. It's stories by the most toxic Bitcoiners ever. Get your copy of Citadel 21 today. All right, the first meme is brought to us by Samuelasso. Anyways, looks like a plebe. Laser eyes. Anyways, check it out. My Bitcoin journey so far. First purchase. First 50% price dump, study, run a node, start mining, ship posts with other plebs, Malacca. First 50% price dump, become a toxic maximalist. Absolutely beautiful meme, bro. Okay, moving on to the next one. It is by Pow, Lo Pow. Anyways, too bullish to DCA. It's a guy DCAing, and then he's buying the fucking dip. He gets knocked out. All right, next one. Next meme's brought to us by our friends at Bitcoin Magazine. Anyways, it really be like that. Me studying Bitcoin. Me at my job or school. All right, next one. It's by Spinte, legendary Spinte. It's Superman seeing the Federal Reserve, and Superman ignoring the Federal Reserve. Absolutely hilarious. Last but not least, okay, last meme is by LC. Definitely go check out his podcast, by the way, the Blue Collar Plebcast. It's a podcast for plebs. But anyways, Bitcoin is bad for the environment. It needs to be green. Your virtue signaling has 2,000 pounds of petroleum-based plastics on it. And then it's a dude getting mad. Absolutely hilarious. Crapping on the ESG guys. And for those memes, Phil, I'm going to give it an open dime pin. What about you?
Oh, my God. P's background. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right, those are epic memes, totally epic memes, and I am going with, I know that I've given something like this, but these are a grouping of toy machine tech decks.
Ooh.
In the case, that's good, right, source. In mint.
All right, last but not least, P, what would you give those memes? I know, Phil, just because you don't like opening stuff, stop showing off. Maple syrup.
I've been meditating on it while we're talking, and I'm going to give those memes one half-drunk, shitty bottle of wine.
Ooh, very good. Half-drunk.
And one pothos green plant that I found in my hotel room.
Good. A plant, half-drank, shitty bottle of wine. Phil's unopened stuff, like always, and an open dime pin. But anyways, guys, do you agree with our scores? Do you disagree? Let us know down in the comment section. And of course, subscribe to us on rumble.com and Bitcoin TV, because there's a lot of censorship going on these days, and we're talking about Janet Yellen. You just never know. But guys, don't forget to also join our Telegram group. Link us some Bitcoin memes to review, because it's a Bitcoin meme review, and we need links. I mean, not links, Bitcoin memes to review, because it's a Bitcoin meme review. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily News. The Daily News is brought to us by CryptoCloaks.com. They make the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like this El Salvador colored Bitcoin grenade, really cool stuff. You put your open dimes in there, or the 3D printed honey badger, put your cold card hardware wallets, really cool stuff. Anyways, take advantage of the link down below for 5% off CryptoCloaks.com. All right, everybody, this is victory. Victory, victory, victory. Omarova, Sala Omarova, Biden wanted her to be the head of the comptroller of the currency, right? And essentially it regulates a majority of the nation's banks. We did a whole episode on her. She came up with this whole scheme where she wanted to federalize all the banks, right? She wanted all the banks to be part of the Fed, right? We had our senator, or the Bitcoin senator, to fight against her, just to kind of read a little bit about her thoughts on Bitcoin, right? Anyways, during her appearance before the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday, Omarova was being vetted to be the next comptroller of the currency, not anymore, which regulates the majority of the nation's banks, voiced concerns that the large tech companies can control the payment infrastructure in the U.S. Now, the reason I highlighted this is because this is the narrative. We heard this from other people as well. They're calling Bitcoin a privately issued currency. The Fed, the dollar, is more privately issued than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is an open monetary network. Anyways, I highlighted the part that she said, private digital currencies are allowed to thrive, right? And then we have Cynthia Loomis. I'm struggling with your view about digital assets. And when asked by the senator whether she only believes in fiat currency, Omarova replied, no. My concern is we may end up in a situation where a large company like a big tech company might control all of the infrastructure through which the money that every American and every business uses in their daily moves. That's not the case with Bitcoin. There is no company that controls it. The problem that she has is that the government does not control it. That's the issue that he had, that she has. But anyway, small victory today. Almirova withdraws after Senate fight over her background, right? We covered her background, right? She's a communist, right? We covered that part. Anyways, President Joe Biden nominee for Comptroller of the Currency, Sahla Almirova, has withdrawn her name from Senate consideration for the post. Almirova's withdrawal came after concerns from the Republican senators about her writings as a legal scholar. We covered that, by the way. Absolutely scary. Recommend that episode. As well as her background of being raised in the former Soviet Union. I love how that's how they shape it. It's because of her background. It's not because of the crazy paper that she wrote. But anyways, how big of a bullet did we just dodge, Phil?
Did you see that last line about Biden? We dodged a huge bullet. I'm sorry. I as you were showing that article, I'm just like, yes. But at the same time, I want to, you know, I was reading on and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is it. I don't understand. I just don't even get how somebody with that type of background ended up in that situation. And there was a whole bunch of people applauding this behavior, right? So I think this goes back to P's, you know, to P's point, right? About fighting the system, right? Fighting all of these moving parts. And that's how we take this down. Her not, you know, her withdrawing is part of that, right? So, yeah.
What do you think, P? What are your thoughts on this?
I strongly agree with everything that's been stated so far.
Fair enough. All right, yeah. Moving on to the next thing. Also, really, really interesting. Check this out. I'm going to tie this in. We've been covering this over a couple months now, right? You know, the narrative that the media would like you to believe is that, you know, Bitcoin's boiling the oceans, Bitcoin's bad, right? But I'm going to kind of all connect this, so just bear along with me, right? We covered this on an episode how Afghans turned to, you know, Bitcoin and shitcoins. Why? Because they were completely disconnected from the legacy financial system, right? But it wasn't only Afghans, right? Out of control and rising. And look at the narrative from the media. Out of control and rising. Why Bitcoin has Nigeria's government in panic, right? It's because people are choosing to opt out of their financial system. But anyways, something that's happening right now is the crisis in Turkey, right? And look how it started. Turkey. Erdogan declares war on crypto. Why is he doing that? Because there's a lot of inflation in his country. But the words are very menacing. Check them out. On the contrary, we have a separate war, a separate fight against them. We would never provide support for cryptocurrencies because we will carry on our own currency that has its own identity. Is it the people's currency or is it the government's currency?
Talking about. That's the really fucking sinister part.
From the mainstream media, they would like you to believe that people, right, opting out of their nation's currency and protecting themselves from inflation is something of a bad thing, right? But the good news is that, dude, you can't hide from Bitcoin, right? You can only deny the honey badger for so long, right? But at the end of the day, people are not really going to care. They're not really going to care about their nation's own currency. What they're going to care about is whether they're being able to provide for their family, being able to store their wealth, being able to feed their family, being able to put food on the table. And I think that the message is finally getting out, right? There's this really promising article from Reason that says it. Look, Turks flee to gold, Bitcoin, and foreign currency as government devalues lira. So it looks like even with the president declaring war on the currency, people are just not caring. Why? Because at the end of the day, they're not going to hold the currency that's losing, you know, tens of percentage of value if there's a better solution. And what I found mind-blowing, and this article actually came out today, is this is on Forbes. Bitcoin could fix Turkey's currency crisis. So it looks like people are finally just questioning the narrative. Anyways, just check it out. Unconventional economic policies. Turkish households saw the value of their national currency plunge nearly 30% last month alone, making everything from food to fuel significantly more expensive for already struggling families. Here's the signal, guys. Like many others, I believe Bitcoin could fix Turkey's lira problem, and to understand why, it might be helpful to dust off a book written 45 years ago by Austrian economist Friedrich Hayek. That's right. Forbes is talking about Austrian economics. Absolutely mind-blowing. I don't think I could have ever imagined this 5 to 10 years ago. This is the power of Bitcoin. It's showing people there's a better way. Even with the propaganda machine of the legacy media, the honey badger doesn't give a fuck. Phil?
Yep, to introduce through some sly roundabout way something that the governments can't stop. Right? Yeah, I think that it's beautiful, man. I think that that's awesome to see. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. We never said that this was, you know, all of this stuff, right? Like, look, at the end of the day, this is people's time. This is people's value, you know? So this is not going to be, you know, this is not going to be easy. We are not the ones that constructed this system. So, you know, like the deleveraging of all of this garbage money, right? This is it is going to be painful, and it is going to create a lot of change. But at the same time, I believe it's going to create a lot of opportunity, and I think it's actually going to make a better future. So look, at the end of the day, I mean, it's beautiful to just see countries questioning the narrative, right? And saying, you know what, maybe we can do something with this. And why not, right? El Salvador is a great example, and I'm excited to see who's next.
Absolutely. P. All right. Does that surprise you, dude, seeing that on Forbes?
It does, actually. I'm at this point where, like, I feel like I'm pretty numb to the mainstream support of Bitcoin or articles that are being published. But that's pretty fucking incredible. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that we'd all agree that we're going to see more and more and more of this. And we're also going to see the attacks on the other side get more and more fierce, right? The claims about Bitcoin, you know, stealing our children and, you know, boiling the oceans, right? I think it's shocking to me how little information people need to just sort of like latch onto a narrative. One of the most egregious versions of this or examples of this is the Lake Seneca, you know, whatever the fuck you want to call it, that came out recently, where people were like, boiling Lake Seneca. And if you looked at like any of the data, like my immediate reaction is I was like, all right, cool. Like, let's just look at the temps of Lake Seneca. And you could see immediately that it was like, oh, it was actually, it was warmer before they started mining Bitcoin. But like, nobody does that. Like, nobody cares. It's just, you look at the narratives that are being, you know, shoveled in by mainstream media. And so I think this is a pretty incredible thing that Forbes is publishing this article.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And yeah, I you know, like an animal trapped into a corner, you know, they're just going to get more and more savage to protect the power that comes from the fiat money printer, right? So, you know, we have a hell of a fight in front of us, and, you know, this is why we Bitcoin. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Can I say one more thing really quick?
Of course you can.
Oh, yeah. I do want to clarify, you know, again, all joking aside, like, the people that are writing these articles are not evil people, right? Like, there's this, I think it's in like the New York Times, but basically a lot of reporters that have covered Bitcoin for many, many years have been forbidden from investing in Bitcoin or holding Bitcoin, right? And I don't think anybody realized how effective or damaging or horrible that was for the people that were involved. But those people are deeply incentivized to publish articles that are against Bitcoin. And I think it's easy to kind of write those people off as like bad actors. But I think it's more important to kind of figure out how we can bring them back into the fold. And one of the things for me is, like, I've had this really amazing experience. We're talking to people who, you know, friends that I know or family members. And what I've discovered is that most people have this sense that, you know, they've missed the boat, right? It's like, oh, this Bitcoin thing, you know, like, oh, you guys are already rich, so you don't give a fuck. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like, my journey to Bitcoin was painful and arduous, and I lost a lot of money before I came to understand that, like, Bitcoin is the answer, you know? And once you can explain to people that, like, you haven't missed shit, like, we are going to the fucking moon. Once people understand that, their perspective shifts like 180 degrees, and they're like, give me all the fucking Bitcoin. And so I think it's always important to not demonize people unfairly, and to figure out how we can, like, bring them into the fold. Because once you crack that nut, Everybody loves it.
Absolutely. And you know, we've talked a lot about this, and I think P, one of the main reasons is we need to move to a SAT standard already. I think the unit bias really hurts people. Like, I pay my sister to help me with the production of the show, and she's like, I'm getting paid 0.0, you know, it's a lot in fiat dollars, but if she felt like, oh, I'm paying you 1,000,000 sats, that feels good psychologically. Totally. Right. So I think a lot of this falls onto, I know Cash App is doing a great job, but I think a lot of this responsibility falls into the responsibility of a lot of exchanges. I know Coinbase is not incentivized to do this because they love selling their shit coins, right? But, you know, a lot of Bitcoin exchanges, they need to move forward and implement a SAT standard. And just by doing that alone, people are going to feel good stacking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of sats, you know? So I think that plays a major role. But I agree, man. I think that, you know, everyone's just following their incentives. And unfortunately, you know, we already saw this from Dave Troy, right? We saw him referring Coinbase back in the day. Looks like he missed the boat. And I think that's why, you know, he's sour. But I think that people don't fully understand what the implications of absolute scarcity mean. And I think that once they get just a small concept of that, right, I think their heads are going to explode. At the end of the day, Bitcoin is the fastest asset to get to $1 trillion without a sitting CEO, without paid marketing. It was all organic, right? So anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. The software releases are brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out, ciphersafe.io. It is definitely the best place to store your seed in the steel cipher wheel. Fireproof, waterproof, petproof. The link is down below. We've got Blue Wallet version 6.2.13. It's down below in the show notes. And don't forget to check us out daily, audio only. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Anchor. All right. Rain or shine. We'll let you know if we're not recording, but we're recording.
Thank you, Phil. All right, guys. I want to apologize for my camera turning off. It just did it to me again. This is a second take, so it's not going to be very frustrating. I guess I left it on overnight. But before we go, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest. His name is P. You can go follow him on the Twitter. I'll pop it up. He is the head of programming for the Bitcoin conference at Bitcoin Magazine. But anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic fails from the Fiat Central Bankers, Janet Yellen, the Shitcoiners, Augustin Carson, all of the above, and the Bitcoin news from the bleep bleep perspective, definitely consider subscribing, and we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin.
We all deserve better than what we've gotten from the evil clown central bankers.